Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Family Business Today, where we feature prominent local and national family business owners. We also talk to top family business experts to discuss relevant topics, including communications, business culture, family relationships, succession and estate planning, values, as well as conflict resolution. Brought to you by the Tennessee Center for Family Business, I'm your host, Greg Lewis. Our guests today are Dan and Connor Sullivan. Connor Sullivan, a Pittsburgh native, worked in IT and enterprise sales for over 10 years. In 2020, Connor stepped away to help launch Bumpus Pub in Charleston, South Carolina, with his brother Dan. Although running their restaurant is a true team effort, Connor leans into his business acumen to handle their financial aspects of Bumpus. Dan Sullivan worked for PNC Bank for 12 years. Feeling unfulfilled in his career, Dan turned a dream to reality and opened Bumpus Pub with his brother Connor, where he currently spearheads the presentation and philosophy side of the business. Well, good morning, Dan and Connor.
Morning, sir.
Morning.
We're glad to have you with us this morning for this edition of Family Business Today. I've really been looking forward to our interview to learn more about your Charleston-based family business, Bumpus. So let's get started.
Yes, sir.
What's about Bumpus Pub? I understand it was named after your grandfather, Bumpa. How does his legacy live on in your family business?
Yes, so when Connor and I started putting our business plan together, it was important to us to honor the legacy of our grandfather. He was a really gregarious man that loved to share a story and loved to have an old-fashioned and meet new friends. And that was kind of the atmosphere that we really pinned the entire concept on, was making people feel like they belong, making people feel like this is their neighborhood bar and they're free to spin a yarn themselves.
So Bumpus is sort of the Cheers of Charleston there. Well, tell us a little bit about Bumpus from a standpoint. What kind of food do you serve? Just a little bit more about sort of the vibe of the place, and it gives people a bit more understanding of what you guys do.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the Cheers of Charleston. It's kind of been a secret goal of ours. So we love hearing that, and we think the space, tells or speaks a lot to that. It's a very kind of comfortable space. It's actually a 300 plus year old warehouse. The building used to go right up to the dock where the ships would come in and out, importing, exporting out of the Charleston Harbor. So we've got a lot of natural history in the space itself. You can see it in the brick walls and the original wood ceiling, and it's a really comfortable space. We just kind of lent into what was already there, and I think our fare really speaks to that too. It's pub fare, pretty traditional in that sense. But we use all fresh ingredients, delivered every day. And when you're getting a burger and fries, there's a lot of work, a lot of effort, and only the best ingredients going into it.
Sure, sure. Well, I believe I saw from your website that your fries is sort of a specialty you have there. So,
yes, sir. Yeah. We're originally from Pittsburgh. That's where we grew up, and we identify with that city very much. And for whatever reason, I think Heinz ketchup probably has something to do with it. But fries are such a huge part of Pittsburgh cuisine. They go on top of salads. They go inside of sandwiches. So we wanted to reflect that in our concept and give people the opportunity to top a French fry any way they want.
Okay. So they're still a French fry, but they're a Bumpus fry. So
yes,
look forward to that.
We have a special way. Everything is cut fresh. Like Connor said, the potatoes are never, never frozen. So we are constantly punching potatoes. We have a blanching process that's proprietary. We have a proprietary seasoning. So it's definitely the cornerstone of what we do. And people have really responded to that. It's kind of new and different. We take it very seriously.
We do. We do. We love the.
That's
love
good. The That's good. I'm serious about my French fries too. Well, hey, Van Conner, of course, y'all are the founders of the of Mumpus, but you both worked somewhere else other than in the food service business. How did working somewhere else before starting the pub benefit you personally and your business as well?
Yeah, no, love that question. You know, Dan and I are both from corporate backgrounds. In fact, I'm still in a sales position myself, and you know, I think that's brought us a lot of practical and working knowledge to you know, the business side of things. If that's not healthy, then nothing is. So, yeah, as a sales guy myself, you know, having that kind of attitude to self-start, you know, every single day and really just get after it has been, you know, extremely beneficial. Also, you know, it helps to learn how to, you know, balance a spreadsheet too.
Sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of practical skills that come from that. And also, you know, we've been lucky enough to work for some really terrific institutions, reputable places that come with a culture of how people should be treated or how teams should work, and bringing that in and making sure that our people know that they're respected. And, you know, that's been something that's served both of us very well as we've in the last 4 years, as we've done.
Sure. Well, we'll talk about it in a few minutes about when you got started. But yeah, it's very important not only to serve your customers well, but also to serve your team members well, So you started Bumpus Pub based to honor your grandfather and everything. But we always believe that there's a reason for starting something, and it helps carry over from one generation to the next. And of course, you're the founder, so y'all have created those principles. So what are the founding principles of Bumpus Pub?
I would say comfort and service. We have three pillars. We try to create a comfortable atmosphere that's inclusive to everybody. Service, we want to make sure we're training our people to not just treat the customer right, but also take ownership of the space. I tell everyone ad nauseum, they're probably sick of hearing it, but this is your house. This is your place. Make your service work for you. And that doesn't mean go completely off book and you know, get crazy with it, but it does mean take ownership of your service, enjoy the time that you're in this building, and never forget, no matter the situation, this is your house, we have your back. You know, the more the employees take ownership of it, the more successful we're going to be, and the more the customers are going to enjoy it, the experience. Right.
Comfort, service, and what's the third one?
Inclusivity.
Inclusivity, okay.
Yeah, it's, again, I love what Dan just said, like having everyone take a stake in it. You know, we've had a lot of folks, you know, that have started as servers become managers. It's like really pretty satisfying to see folks actually, you know, take that tenet and really run with it and make it their own. So
right.
I'm really proud of that.
That's certainly a great principles to live by. And it sounds like you're getting that into the DNA of Bumpus Grill and how you treat your employees and customers. So that's great. So your brothers, you may have done everything together growing up, but you went your separate ways professionally and everything else, but now you're back together. Do you each have defined roles in the business, or do you share all responsibilities?
That's a great question. And I feel like we're speaking like we already have known each other a long time. You seem to have us more or less figured out. But yeah, we definitely kind of did our own things in you know, different places throughout the country for, you know, 10 plus years. But, you know, I've got to credit Dan for, you know, having the vision for bringing us together and doing our own thing kind of free of, you know, any kind of corporate bond, let's say, to put it lightly. But yeah, no, I think working together over the last few years has been incredibly rewarding, and I'm just really happy that we're here.
Yeah, I echo everything Connor said, and I say this often, but I truly mean it. I would have picked Connor as a business partner even if we weren't related. He's got a terrific business mind. He's savvy, he's clever, honest. Yeah, it's like it's for me, it's fun being there every day, and I get to talk to people and I get to interact. But Connor really comes in with just some really terrific knowledge, so he would have been my first choice for a business partner regardless of familial ties.
And I appreciate that, and I, you know, credit where it's due. Dan is a fantastic front man. You know, he's the biggest, loudest guy in the restaurant at any given point in time. And you know, I think it is just fantastic for our customers. I mean, you can go on Google and look at some of our reviews. Dan is called out constantly. He's terrific at being on the floor. You know, in addition to being in a great, you know, day-to-day operator, and you know, having great big ideas. Again, at credit where it's due, you know, Dan really did pull us together to do this thing in the first place. So I think we complement each other. We're alike in so many ways, but we've got our individual talents as well.
And no matter what, you know, we have different skill sets, like Connor said. But when a message comes to our employees from ownership, it is always a unified front. And Connor and I are very conscious of the fact that when it comes from ownership, that's both of us. We rarely let a peek behind the curtain of our discussions on various specifics, but I can tell you that when a message comes from ownership, they know it's the Sullivan brothers that are coming at you with a unified message.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I was smiling as both of y'all were pontificating about each one of you. I was wondering if y'all had paid each other to say all those nice things.
Yeah, while we and were also, I was one, yeah, we're handing each other $1 bills as we go along.
But I was also more interested is if your mother was here on the show, would she agree with all that y'all said about each other when y'all were growing up as brothers?
Absolutely.
Actually,
yes.
I think mom would really have, she'll enjoy listening to this bit.
Yeah, sure. Mom would agree. And, you know, Connor and I have had, you know, from childhood to now, we are as close as two brothers can be. And that's not just words, it's actual truth. It's, you know, we're godparents to each other's kids. We're, you know, our wives are great friends. And it's, you know, it's a special relationship that I understand is sometimes not as common as we like to think. But yeah, the two of us have each other's backs all the time and always will.
Oh, that's great. That's right. Well, you've talked about it a little bit already, but we like to say that there are three elements that contribute to family business success. There are communication, and communication. Tell us a little bit more about how the two of you communicate with each other, and then also how do you communicate with your team members?
That's a great question. So Connor and I communicate daily. As he said, he's got, you know, he's got his own business concerns going on right now. So
got my day job.
Right. So yeah. We try to be respectful, and we both have families. So we're we try to be respectful of each other's times, but there isn't a day that goes by that we don't at least check in. And if there's something business relevant that needs to be discussed, we always make the time for each other to discuss those issues and come up with an answer. And I'll say, in terms of the employees, that's a constant stream.
Well, I mean, again, it's a restaurant, so you know, there's it falls apart without absolutely constant communication and checking in, you know, from back of house to front of house. You know, that never changes, and you know, we're not going to be the first people to tell you that. But yeah, no, I think we've found a way to you know, be able to communicate effectively, you know, both personally and professionally. And you know, those lines can get blurred because we're brothers, and you know, as Dan was just saying, we're actually friends too. So you know, that could be tricky, and that could be a balancing act. But you know, I think, you know, over time, you know, it just becomes clear, whether it's a tone of voice or a specific setting, you kind of learn to weave in and out of that kind of more professional conversation, and then, you know, be able to break it down into, you know, more personal, familial, you know, tones and subjects. So I don't know, it's tricky, but when you get there, it can be very rewarding.
And sure. something Connor and I are very keen on saying is no pride of authorship. We want to make sure that, you know, egos go in the bin, and we're putting forth the best idea. And to me, it doesn't matter who comes up with it. If it's implemented correctly, we all win. And so Connor and I really put those things aside, and we've really gained a lot of ground just by coming up with the best idea between the two of us.
Oh, good. Well, good. Well, you know, we're in a technology-driven environment now. Hey, we're recording this on Zoom right now. How do you like to be communicated to? Is it by face-to-face? Is it by a telephone call, FaceTime, or email, text? What's your preferred communication to you?
I love face-to-face. So, and many of our vendors understand and respect that. They know that if they really want to get my attention, they'll stop in, and that's a two-way street. It means I get to listen to their, you know, whatever their pitch is or what have you. But it also means, you know, I need you to come in and show your face in my business and show that you care about our interests. And that's gone a long way. Our vendors are terrific partners, and they help us out in many different ways, from printing menus to advertising for us. And we're lucky, but that's all because of the relationship that Connor and I have built with these folks. We know them personally. So I'll say face-to-face. If there's something you need to talk to me about, text me. I would say I'll answer that right away.
Sure.
Phone calls, you know, sometimes I miss them, but a text, I can see that at any point. So
we actually really differ on that, which I think is pretty funny. And I do have another job in sales.
I was about to ask you about that, Connor. You're not there all the time, so yours may be a little different, and that's okay.
Oh yeah, I hope so. But yeah, I seem to miss a lot of texts. Because, you know, on the phone and on a lot of Teams calls and Zoom calls and so on and so forth. There's more platforms now than there certainly were a few years ago, for obvious reasons. But anyway, I'll have to say, I like to insist on, if there's a request from anyone in our management team, I need it in an email, or else you can look at a text and forget it. In an email, you know, that's a bookmark. It'll stick with you till you actively delete it. So
yeah,
for me, I love having that, because I'll never miss an email.
Yeah. And there's I work with a lot of entertainment and restaurant aimed businesses, so I get this. But I agree with you. From a sales standpoint, Dan, yeah, I like that personal touch and contact. But from an operational standpoint, Connor, I agree with you. I need some kind of paper trail to know that there's some communications going on and there's been some solution, and you know, smart goals have been set and everything else. So I appreciate both of your answers are correct. So I appreciate that.
Awesome.
So I talked about your mother a few minutes ago. What is an ancient memory of your brother, Dan, that can make you laugh so hard you'd cry?
Oh, gosh, there are many, many instances to choose from.
It's one. We don't have time for 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'll just say we've been lucky enough to take quite a few vacations, meaningful once-in-a-lifetime type vacations together. Mm-hmm. And one particular vacation in Ireland, there's a picture of the two of us pretending to steer a famine ship out to sea, and we were both pulling on the wheel in opposite directions and screaming, and that's a picture that lives in my album constantly, and I look back on it and just smile. It's
that's great. Well,
very
unbearable. How about you, Connor?
I'm glad you asked, because again, I want to be cautious of time, obviously. But okay, so this was maybe like 8 or so years ago. So you know, our lives were a little different then.
Charlie's 8, so probably.
Oh, so all right,
10 or 12,
maybe 10 years ago. Yeah. So yeah, a while ago, and so Dan was without kids. I wasn't even married at the time. I believe I was living in Chicago, and Dan and his wife, Joe, are in our native Pittsburgh, and they threw this wild Halloween party. I don't think the intent was for it to be so wild, but
it was not.
It went that way.
My wife made the drinks way too strong, and we ended up really just destroying our entire friend base.
So it was pretty wild. And the story alone is the night itself alone was great. But what makes me laugh to this day is also a picture, because me and Dan dressed up as Batman and Robin, Dan being Batman and me being Robin, you know, younger brother, it's what you get. And you know, we wore the tights and everything, and we looked awful.
We look ridiculous. I mean, we're talking about 1966 Batman and Robin.
Right, good point.
These were basically body stockings, and yeah, we just went out in front of everybody and not a care in the world, and
not much left to the imagination.
Well, I was, you know, I'm trying to imagine Batman with a beard, but that's another story. let's move on. You guys sound like, you know, you'll get along great, but, you know, I have never met anyone who works in a family business that there is a conflict, sometime disagreement or whatever. I'm, you know, specifically about business. Sometimes it can be some personal things going on that can cause the conflict going on there. But when conflict arises between the two of you, what rules have you consciously or unconsciously created to solve problems when you disagree?
Another great question, and I like the way you phrased it too, consciously and unconsciously. I think we've done both. I referenced earlier how, you know, the lines can be really blurred, you know, between being family and being business partners. So, you know, there can be friction that isn't always easy to even see, right? Those two things can bleed together. Just, you know, very unexpectedly. So I think when those things do kind of come to a head, and again, I mentioned before, I think we've gotten really good at that. If I can say so, or at least, you know, in our eyes, we think we have. But when things do kind of get out of hand, we've actually formula, and this might sound really silly, but we formulated a code word that we can give to each other if we truly think that things are getting out of hand, maybe, you know, completely irrational. If we use the code word, the other knows that, hey, like, look, things are out of line. Yeah. This is not the time. Let's take 3 steps back and, not talk about the subject anymore.
That's great. Pause. Sometimes we call it a pregnant pause. You just, if things are starting to go, you just take a pause for a minute and not say anything. And then move on by asking a question instead of giving a opinion that you disagree on. That's great. I appreciate your sharing that. So I know that, like all businesses, they were started over a dinner table, a family gathering. It may be a holiday, a Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever. But we always say that family is family and business is business, and never the two shall meet unless you work together in a family business. How do you handle the line between family and business? You talked about that just briefly, Connor. Could y'all expound on that?
This is Dan, but what I would say is when we're together with our family, and we are I hate to sound cliche, but we are a very tight-knit group. We really, really spend a lot of time with each other, and every time we're together feels meaningful. And, you know, it's important to us to, I don't think we ever consciously separate work conversation from everything else, but we are respectful of, even though this eats up a lot of our bandwidth, so to speak, we try to talk about other things as well. On the flip side, I will say our father was a terrific businessman since retired, but his input into what we're doing is invaluable. So when we are together, we always share with him the nitty gritty of what's going on. And we usually get a terrific response.
If we're at mom and dad's house, which we often are, all both our families, if dad needs to talk on the porch, that's kind of a sign. Mm-hmm. We the three of us will go out. We might be, God, this sounds a little hokey, very cliche, but mm-hmm. Grilling out burgers or steaks, we'll go out and we'll talk some shop, while we're doing some grilling. But it's effective, and it's a way to kind of, it's thin, but it's a way to kind of silo business talk from the other folks in the family that maybe don't want or need to hear any of that kind of stuff.
I would say many people don't want to hear us talk about it all the time. But dad's been through this. I mean, on a macro scale, dad's been through this before. But
that's Bumpa's son, mind you.
Yeah, Bumpa's son, Dan the Third. So getting his opinion is always just terrific and clears the mind. And, I don't care how old I get, or I'm sure Connor believes the same thing, but his approval and his thoughts on what we're doing are always, they're never not going to be important to us. So
absolutely.
We make sure to loop him in. And without any outside investors, this truly is a family business. So having him be our sounding board for so much stuff is just, it's been incredible. And again, that often leads to disagreements as well, but he's been down this road 1,000 times and we're just getting started in our own business. So
I think it's safe to say there's no one we respect more than our father.
Absolutely. 100%.
Sure. Well, thanks for sharing that. I would like to
go a little bit deeper with that. You're both married, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're both married, and I think back to conversations with my wife. I worked with my father in our family business for 17 years, and I know years after I left the family business, Jennifer told me that every time I would come home, I would eat, she would have to eat her Herman soup, which was my father, and when Dad would go home, he would talk to Mother, and she would have to eat Greg soup.
Yes.
I suppose my question is it's not so much about that part, but how do you talk to your spouses about the business? Do you share with them at a high level on a day to day? How was your day to day? Tell us a little bit about, because I know some people have a real hard time talking to their spouse about business.
Yeah, I can immediately think of a few times where, especially at the beginning, we don't have to go down this rabbit hole, but we did start during COVID, and things were always a fight, and to an extent still are. I mean, we're still scratching and clawing for everything,
sure,
every bit of business we can get, but. My wife probably had to endure a ton of my thoughts on what was happening and how things were going. And luckily, we both have partners that are just endless depths of empathy and support. We chose well. We outkicked our coverage in both cases, and there's never been a time where my wife has resented the time that I spend there or thought this was a mistake. It's always been support, support, support. And, you know, without her, I don't think I'd be buoyant enough to make it, to be honest.
Yeah.
So my wife, Kara, it's kind of up. It was up to her for this whole thing to happen. So, but I met my wife in New York she's from Richmond, Virginia, and wanted to move back down south and was ready to do so, and stayed in New York City a little longer on my behalf. But knowing she wanted to move to a southern city, and knowing that, you know, my brother wanted to embark on this great adventure, the stars seemed to align. So meeting my wife, or rather I should say, like beginning to date my wife was really a huge catalyst for this whole venture. So
to echo that, my wife got a job in South Carolina after we had our first child. And, you know, her message to me very, very clearly and well spoken was, why are we waiting to try to do something that you want to do? Let's, you know, she kind of made it like, there's no other choice. I've got a great job down there. Why are we waiting? Let's go.
Sure.
Your parents are there. It takes a village to raise a child. And I truly believe that's true. Both of our wives.
Engines to get us to go.
Absolutely. They made this very clear to us that they supported us. And that meant uprooting their own lives to do it. And I mean, what greater gift is there than that?
That's right. That's right. Well, you mentioned COVID a minute ago, and we all know in our communities, wherever we are, is this restaurants were hit hard by COVID, and some didn't never open their doors back up afterwards. Can you tell us just a little bit how that experience, COVID, shaped how you run your business today?
Yeah, I mean, sadly, it shaped a lot. So we were set to open in March of 2019, and we're watching the news. We've got our whole team hired, and it seemed impossible, right? That sure. This thing was even real. Obviously it was, and we were pretty heartbroken about it, but we had some candid conversations, and me and Dan, but also our senior staff at the time, and we came to the conclusion that we had to make a pivot. And then obviously the city of Charleston, along with every other city and state in the United States, had some kind of decree that we couldn't be open at all. So we lost some agency there, but I think we were, we saw the writing on the wall. But the fact that we had to delay our opening altogether, and then what was the responsible and appropriate time to open after the worst had passed, that was actually even harder, because we didn't know the answer. No one knew the answer. We were allowed to be open at this point, but could we open? Would it be responsible to be in operation? Could we make enough money to pay our employees? It was really, truly, especially after making our space, it was a really difficult time.
Yeah, it was. Sure. It was almost 2 years worth of build out to get the building where we needed it to be. It was a total redesign that also focused on preserving the historic elements that were still there. So when you walk in, you're immediately greeted with this enormous, beautiful ceiling of timbers that are, like Connor said, 250 years old, probably a little older. And we put so much time and effort into that, and we're ready to hit the ground running, and to have COVID sort of, and this is not unique to us. This is not a woe is me story, but to have that derail what we had built could have been defeating. I'll say, like so many other people in our industry, we're a resilient people, I would say, as a profession. And we were able to, like Connor said, we pivoted to do different things. There were some silver linings. Because we hadn't opened yet, we didn't have any bad habits to break in terms of how we were being clean and how we were turning tables.
Good point.
We were very conscious of the fact that there were a lot of health department rules that needed to be observed. And so when we opened, those rules became rote. Everybody knew them. Everybody knew what was expected. And we also wanted to show everyone that walked through that door what we were doing. So we were very conscious of the fact that people were seeing what we were cleaning, how often we were cleaning.
Sure.
And we used that to our advantage.
It was good.
But it was also important to show people that we took it seriously.
Well, that's great. Well, a lot of families come to us when they're talking about creating a family business or about transitioning a family business. What advice would you give to siblings or other family members who are working together or maybe considering working together in a family business?
Well, that's tricky. We've talked a lot about Dan's and my chemistry, and
chemistry.
I've got a lot of friends in a lot of places, and I gotta say I don't know a lot of folks, a lot of peers that have relationships with their siblings like Dan and I do. I really do feel like what we have is pretty special. So I'd say this: if you're gonna get into business, if you're gonna really do business with a sibling, be honest with yourself and have an honest assessment of your sibling's skills and capabilities, because if it's just something you want to do, it's not going to work. You have to be honest with yourself, and you have to have a realistic projection of what the two of you are going to do, because Dan and I do have very different responsibilities with our business. Like, and you have to trust that person is going to do that thing that you are not doing. And if it's your first business, you want to know everything all the time, but you can't be there and present with every aspect of any business. Huh? So yeah, it's hard. And you really, trust. I'm sure that's probably an answer you hear a lot, but you really got to trust your partner.
Oh, sure.
Doing their thing.
It's been described to us as we've had some consultants, we've had a lot of, friends in business, not to give us the credit here, but sort of marvel over the fact that this is something that we wanted to do together.
And, sure.
It's been said, it's like a marriage. And it is, because, we've been brothers for 36 years.
How old am I?
Are you 36?
37. We'll figure it out later.
Yeah, 30 plus years, almost 40 years we've been brothers. And but now that we're in business together, the relationship has to adjust to also include business discussions. And, I'll say from the time we started to today, I've grown so much. Like, there's no, I hope Connor doesn't disagree, but to me, there's no older brother, younger brother consideration to our relationship. It's only brothers. Sure. And I've grown and learned a lot from Connor. And, I love being open to the fact that there is so much about business that he understands that I don't. And so it's been really, really lovely to sort of learn from him in a way.
Well, I was going to make a joke about younger brothers having a place, but Dan kind of took the wind out of those sails. But it's actually our GM, Corey. Mm-hmm. She absolutely deserves a shout out.
Shout out to Corey.
She has a lot of sayings. One of them is put their aces in their places. And I mean, not that she invented the term, but she uses it well.
Sure.
And I think actually, Corey should probably been in this interview. But no, we have determined where we are most effective. And like I said much earlier in our conversation, like having Dan at the door or, at the helm of the ship at any given day, that gives our business such an advantage. I can't overstate that, which is great because, I'm not as good on the floor as Dan is, right? So it's
he's being modest.
We found our rhythm.
And something else is, while we're on the subject of our general manager, who is really just taking the ball and run with it, she's been with us all 4 years. She started as our bar manager, eminently qualified to do that. And, she was a little trepidatious about taking the reins of the entire business. And she's just been a godsend. She gets the business. She's working the business for 25 years. And she's really just, she's another person. I learn from her every day. I love hearing her ideas. She's a terrific person, and she's really been a member of our extended family these 4 years. So she probably should have been sitting here. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we could go on and on and on. I've thoroughly been enjoying our time together. But just in closing, what does the future look like for Bumpus?
Store 2, store 3. We meet a lot of interesting folks. A lot of other entrepreneurs have great ideas, and some of them may be a little pie in the sky. But there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
So we try to stay measured, improve what we're doing every day at our single store. But yeah, we're always kind of on the lookout for, you know, what is next for us, where we can build another concept. And, you know, that's, I guess, the other side of it is like, is it Bumpas too, or is it something maybe a little different that we name after another grandparent? we don't know. But
okay. Thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely. And it's been such a fun journey, you know, growing and, I don't know, making people happy. And yeah, we just want to do that in as many ways as we can.
Okay. Thank you. Well, Dan and Connor, thank you for being my guest on Family Business Today. Please accept our best wishes for continued success for both of you individually and for Bumpas.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. We appreciate being on the show. And
it's great. We had a lot of fun.
Well, to learn more about Bumpas, visit their website at www.bumpas-chs.com or visit them in person on Cumberland Street in Charleston, South Carolina. To our listeners, thank you for joining us for the Family Business Today podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Center for Family Business, located in Nashville, Tennessee. Our passion is to help families create a positive environment where the family thrives, the business performs, and working together create a lasting family legacy. Whether you're a business owner looking to grow your family business, or you're wanting to prepare to someday sell or transition the business to the next generation, check out our free resources on our website at www.tncfb.com. If you want to talk to a family business advisor about your specific family business needs, schedule a 30-minute, no-cost call by sending us email to info@tncfb.com. If you want to talk, we will listen. So until next time, thanks for joining us.